Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 39 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Coming to Terms with Greatness. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I'm picking up where I left off last week, going into the atmosphere. Now, this is, how can an astronaut be an astronaut unless he's trained and called an astronaut? He's called an astronaut because he's had the training of flight. The astronaut is convinced that he has been trained, and he's convinced that he's a great person to make the trip. The spiritual term that I started and introduced you to last week, where I left off, was coming to terms with your greatness. Now, that sounds maybe a little funny, but I hope if you didn't get it, go back and watch last week's. People come to terms with failure, but they don't come to terms with greatness. It's amazing. We predict ourselves to fail, but we do not dare tread on the thought of our greatness. Well, if greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world, that means the greater one of all things is in us. So does that make us great? It's important that we come to terms with this greatness that we now are in Christ Jesus. I see people still waiting to come up to speed with this greatness and without even considering their destination. But I'm introducing to you last week and this week, how can we come, this prophetic teaching that I'm going into this week, you can't get it if you don't get the first term. You've got to come to terms with your greatness in Christ Jesus. Quit acting like you're messing it up. You already have, and he's already fixed it. So we've got that one behind us. So now we're ready to go on to this greatness of he that is in us. Now, as a prophetic people, you got to come to terms with that, or I can't take you anywhere. We are a great people because of he that lives in us. And you've got to identify with that and come to terms with that. Without that, you will not be persuaded that he can do anything. He's not waiting for you to get everything right. He gave up on that 2,000 years ago. He made a provision. I've said this before, but as we come into terms with our greatness, and I'll repeat it. God had a message. God's message, the first message God had to the earth was the Ten Commandments for mankind. So God gave the Ten Commandments to mankind. Mankind could not keep God's message, correct? Since mankind could not keep God's message, and we had the fall of man, God's love for his creation, which is us, was greater than his message. God's message to mankind, to be in fellowship with him, was the Ten Commandments. We couldn't do it. So God, I guess, woke up. I can't imagine him saying, uh-oh, but perhaps he did. Mankind failed. Mankind could not keep God's message. And God wanted to be in relationship with his creation so much, he said, oh my goodness, I've got the standards pretty high. So he said, I guess I'm going to have to fulfill my own message. So God's love for us was so great, it was greater than his own message. So he came in the form of his son, which fulfilled those Ten Commandments, which was God's message. Jesus fulfilled God's own message. He fulfilled his own message because his love for us was greater than his message. And that love is the love of God. Now, as a prophetic people, to move from a Pharisee into a spiritual kingdom person, you've got to get it that your love must be greater than your message if you're going to fly with God in true spirituality. You've got to see that your message is not the greatest thing you know. It's the love of God is the greatest thing that you'll ever know. For within it contains all of the kingdom of God. I've shared with you, we're like a water hose that the love of God can flow through. Now, we're not the water. We're the hose. We're the conduit. And I told you the hose gets a little wet by the very fact that the love is flowing through him. So we do get a touch. But come to terms with your greatness. More can flow through you than who you are. Wow. Can you get it, what I'm trying to say? You've got to come to terms with the greatness of the love of God. And understand, greater love can flow through you than who you are. It's not about who you are. You're already the water hose, and God took some duct tape and taped us all up real good so that his love can flow through us just the same. That consideration is part of coming to terms with your greatness. And as we come to terms with this greatness, we then have considered this love of God can flow through us, which is greater than our message. All selfishness stops the love of God. All demanding for everybody to get everything just right stops the love of God. Is your love greater than your message? When your message stops relationships, your love is not greater than your message. We think we are to die for our message. Well, go ahead. You can't do any good by dying for your message. Only one could do it, and his name was Jesus, and he's already done it. Are you with me? Are you feeling your greatness? Are you feeling the greatness of God's love just a little bit? Are you getting it, at least here? Now, I want to move on. How to move into this greatness? Number one, you got to live in forgiveness. Lack of forgiveness is the enemy unto greatness. You can forgive people when they don't even get it right. Trust me, God will work with somebody to do it right. You don't have to require that. Now, so we live in forgiveness. How can you live in forgiveness? How do you know if you're living in forgiveness? You have a very short memory. It's how you know you're living in forgiveness. Now, to move into greatness, listen to this. There's a spiritual conspiracy to make you cynical. It's a spiritual conspiracy to make you cynical. Cynical means you're smart and everybody's stupid. Just to put it in redneck terms. There's a conspiracy out here to make us cynical. When we are to be agents of the love of God. Now, I don't know if you can hardly see that, but a little proverb I sent out last week. When you run after who you are going to be, you run away from who you were. So as we're running to be who we are in Christ Jesus, that means we're leaving who we were. For some reason, we think we can hang on to who we were and run into who we're going to be. Well, no, you're still who you were. You can't bring were with to be. Were has to stay in were. You got to be before you can do. Were, be, then do. We're leaving, we're going. But you have to leave before you can go. Just say goodbye to your old self. Say it's been fun, been nice knowing you. But I'm going to leave you behind, and I'm going to run into who I'm going to be. Now, if you're going to run into who you're going to be, if you're uncomfortable with change, you'll never make the trip. Well, I take that back. You can be uncomfortable, but you got to agree with change. Don't preserve who you were and expect you're going to be who you're going to be. You can't preserve who you were. You got to let who you were die. Now, there's more to live unto and be than there is to die to. So it's not like you're not making a fantastic trade here. So you're leaving behind who you were, running into whom you're going to be. Just let it go. Just let your old self go. Say, well, Alan, I'm scared. I don't know who I'm going to be. Praise God. I'm scared too. The only thing you have to die to is pride, because pride is what preserves who you were. How do I know that? It's because you're proud of it and you won't keep it. We think we can let go of what we're not proud of. You got to let it all go. Now, coming, what we're trying to do now is we're trying to come to terms with our greatness. You must come to terms with your greatness. And one way we do that, or the main way we do that, is we understand that you are an instrument of change. Wow. How many people do not like change? Well, how many people don't tell the truth? We are to be an instrument of change if we are coming to terms with our greatness. Did Jesus die to change the world? The answer to that is yes. So if we're going to come to terms with our greatness, do we not have to come to terms that we're going to be in a lot of changing? Now, this changing is something I want us to think on and consider, push into, bear into as being a prophetic people. What's the change we're shooting for? Atmosphere. I had Karen lead us in that little song that the atmosphere is changing now. I'm teaching you a spiritual truth. Consider what I have to say. A prophetic people is a people that can shift atmospheres no matter where they are. You can be one person in the midst of 1,000 pagans and shift the atmosphere. The atmosphere is what determines what grows under that atmosphere. Now, keep this in mind, shifting atmosphere. As we come in here this morning, there are people coming in with all types of attitudes, all types of ideas, and for the most part, everybody's had a bad week. How do I know that? That's just the common response of mankind. Bad week. So we come in here and we have now determined that we have this greatness within us, we want to see some things change in people's lives, in our own and in others. If you don't want to change, you sure don't need to come to church. It is ground zero of change. So then we see that as we come in here and we realize that we're these people of greatness, and listen, y'all, we really are, this group of people right here can set the atmosphere for the next 2 hours. I mean, for real, this is not a simulation. This is the truth. We can shift the atmosphere of this place. Now listen, we'll take on Walmart and the world later. Let's just concentrate on this place this morning. We can shift. Please consider this from me. It's from the Spirit. We can shift the atmosphere of this place. Now, atmospheres in the natural, the atmospheric structure tends to change in seasons in the natural. But please hear this, very, very, very important. Wintertime it gets cold, summertime it gets hot. Spring it feels great, fall is fall. In the wintertime, there are homeless people freezing, starving. You can go to the mountains and people are skiing, sitting by the fire. Same season, but different atmosphere. Same season. Yes, it's cold. But you create a spiritual atmosphere within an atmosphere. Did I lose you or have I still got you? We can shift the atmosphere, spiritually speaking, in any season. People do it all the time in the natural. Now, does a person skiing, are they inferior to the person who's homeless and freezing and hungry? No. It's not my point. My point is, it's cold and it's winter. We can be in this earth and things can look real bad. The season could be terrible. Do you know the best time to start a new business is in the worst economic times? Do you know that? That's the best time to start a business, when everything's at its worst. You get your best buys. You can pick up everything. Everybody's quitting. You're engaging. All of a sudden, your opposition is not as great in bad times as in good. So people of the Spirit, and prophetically speaking, we know that our greatest advantage is in the bad times. Why? Because we're going to change the atmosphere. Our most successful time is when things are at their worst. Wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. Amen. So we can say that everything around us is bad. But God's called us to be a people of change. Why? Because we have found out that we are great, and we are great people, and we carry the love of God. And things might look bad, but we know the worse they are, the better advantage we have. Now, when things are real bad, you got to understand that the dark side, the demons, are getting tired. That's right. There's a heavenly host out here ready to move on our behalf at any time as we start to understand our greatness. Now, let me move on. Have you got it? Have you got my point here? Shifting atmosphere, you can shift them in any season. I don't care what the season is. We can shift it. when things are worst of times are the best of times for us that want to be successful in spiritual things. Now, here's what we've got to do. If we're going to be a person who shifts atmosphere, we've got to understand this spiritual move, this spiritual stance, if you will. The number one thing that I put here is anticipation. Now, anticipation aligns you with shift. You know, Jesus said to Jerusalem that they missed their visitation. You remember that scripture? That the Jews missed their visitation. You know why they missed their visitation? Because they truly were not anticipating His coming. Anticipation is the spiritual move that lines you up with spiritual phenomena. Anticipation. How do we change the atmosphere in here? Number one, we all come in this sanctuary with tremendous anticipation of what God could do. That anticipation helps to shift the atmosphere. Can you feel it, somebody? That anticipation can shift atmosphere. Now, what does the word anticipation mean? This is from the dictionary. It's the action of expectation, expectancy, is anticipation. It's the action of expectation. In other words, anticipation, the reason I use that word, anticipation is where spirit and natural touch each other. Anticipation is expectation in action. In other words, if you're spiritually anticipating something, you can feel it. You're tingly all over or something. Or you might want to cry. It's because your expectancy has moved on to the next step. We can all sit here and expect God to do something. And we've got one more step to take. And it's anticipating God's going to do something. It's that anticipation that it engages faith. Now, that's the synonyms, expectancies, expectation. Now, this is an example. In the expectation of, in preparation for, in case of, ready for. It's out of the dictionary. Anticipation. It's expecting something. It's not only that, it's preparing. Anticipation is preparation for something. Can you feel her, Dustin? Oh, good. Praise God. We'll have just to get into something here. In preparation. In case of or ready for. Now, my question is, did we come in here this morning? I can feel spirit. I don't know if y'all can or not. I think I'm telling the truth. If we come in here with preparation for and ready for, what does ready for mean? It means I'm not on my cell phone. It means I'm not thinking about what's for dinner. It means I'm not thinking about work next. Ready for what? I'm anticipating. I have taken my expectancy, which is in my head, and it has turned into spirit, which it turns into anticipation. And anticipation is expectancy felt. It's anticipation. It's there. It's real. Now, here's an example. We bought plenty of food in anticipation of holiday visitors. Just an example of anticipation. We bought plenty of food anticipating holiday visitors. So anticipation is, are we expecting a visitation of the Holy Spirit for dinner? Are we preparing just in case they show up? As a prophetic people, we must move from expectant to anticipating. That's a spiritual move to anticipation. When you anticipate, you are ahead of the game. If you're playing basketball, guard's bringing the ball down the court, the forward's over here, he says, I'm going to anticipate that guard. I'm going to go over this way, and when the pass comes, I'm there. Have you ever seen somebody lead a pass? They're throwing the ball to nobody, but this person has anticipated the pass. Do you feel it? And when they, I can feel it. When they anticipate that pass, they're there. When it came, but the anticipation's what provided them being there. Without the anticipating of its coming, you will not be aligned to receive it when it comes. It's a spiritual move. Now, so when you anticipate, you are ahead in business. Anticipation's everything. You anticipate the market. Your anticipation is, I just want you to see it as a spiritual term. It's when expectancy comes alive, is anticipation. When you anticipate, you're ahead of the game. You can react. When you expect, you do not react. In other words, when you expect God to move, you're sitting here. Why? Because you're expecting God to move. You are not in that equation. Anticipation means you're ahead of the game, you're ahead of the move, so therefore you move. And that movement causes you to be aligned when the kingdom comes. Now, I submit to you, if you've got that thought, that God's throwing us passes. There's probably 100 already went off in here this morning. Nobody's here to catch it. Anybody hear what I'm trying to say? It's coming down from the king. The ball's being thrown. The question is, are we anticipating it's being thrown? Anticipation equals movement. And movement means we'll be there to catch it. Don't think you're going to see there and he's going to throw it to you. It doesn't work that way. You got to move. We are what makes it real. God's kingdom's not real without us. We are the agent that anticipates its coming and we encounter it. Don't move. You're expecting. To move means you're anticipating that it's coming. And your movement means, in other words, you could be in the mall. God says, go over and talk to that person. You've heard me say this before. You say, God, I don't know what to say, right? You hadn't thrown the ball yet. You're anticipating he's going to tell you when you get there. That's called faith. You're not supposed to know what to say. You don't practice. You don't know what the ball is. But you're anticipating he's going to tell you when you get there. Wow, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? Wow. But it'll be there because your anticipation propelled you to go. You didn't stay there and say, well, I'm expecting God to move in their life. Oh, hadn't considered I'm the movement because I'm anticipating. I know it's them. So I make the movement, I anticipate, and I go, and bam, there it is. You react when you anticipate. When you expect, does it not just speak to you of sitting still till it comes? You know what expect means? It's passive. That's good. Expect is passive. Anticipation is aggressive because you're going to move. Now, as a prophetic people, are you with me? Okay. Now, watch this. Anticipation is the beginning of faith. Wow. You see, expectancy is believing God will move. Anticipation takes it the next step to where true faith, you see, faith is a term in expectancy, but faith is the Holy Spirit in anticipation. I'm trying to remember what I just said, and I can't. Or I've said it twice. What did I say? Faith is Holy Spirit in anticipation. What did I say about expectancy? I don't remember. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, thank you. Now, did y'all get that? No. Oh, I'll go back and watch it. Anticipation is the beginning of faith. Now, I'm wanting you to see that faith has to come off of these words. I call it, I'm spaced now. Trevor, what's the term that I like to use for little stuff? Something real little, it is, yeah, oh, I can't remember. I used it last week. Something physics. Quantum physics. There we go. Thank you. You got what quantum, spiritual quantum physics to me. I can give it my own definition because nobody's got one. Spiritual quantum physics to me is you've got reality of what we can see, and you got reality of what you can see, and we got reality of what we can't see. Now, somewhere those two touch. I don't know if they got a black hole or wormhole or what, but you go from what you can see to what you can't see. Both of them's just as, one's just as real as the other. But they pass, somewhere they got to pass through and touch. Expectancy is in what I can see. I'm expecting something. Anticipation's on the other side of what you can't see. Anticipation is a prophetic term. You got to pass. It's got to, that quantum thing's got to happen. Now, when true faith has two positions, it has the natural and the spirit. Faith's got to leave the brain, go into the unseen. And all of a sudden, faith comes off the pages as a word, and it turns into something mystical and spiritual that's changing an atmosphere. Faith turns into a spiritual live entity. When faith hits through this thing, your faith is the Holy Spirit. When you have faith turned into spirit, it's Holy Spirit. That's the reason I want you to see that anticipation, your faith doesn't become real, your faith doesn't become active faith until it's carried through anticipation. If your faith stays in expectancy, it hasn't shifted into spirit yet. Your faith to pass into from the words off of a page into all of a sudden, oh, here, did, I mean, there's one thing to read about a donkey, and there's another one for a donkey to be there, right? Faith is a word, then it turns into a faith, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. That person of the Holy Spirit is expressed. The anticipation is the action that I'm wanting you to see that operates in the unseen world. You got to Let your expectancy grow, mature into anticipation. Anticipation will make you do things that expectancy won't. Expectancy, as Ed said, is passive, and anticipation is aggressive. Anticipation hunts for where faith is needed. Make you look like an idiot. Anticipation hunts for where faith is needed. Expectancy waits for it to come to you. Anticipation goes after it. And you see it. Now, we will anticipate total healing and change for any situation. That's what anticipation does. It can be total healing, change any situation. Anticipation's faith has no end. How do you know if you're staying in expectancy? You can say, well, I just can't quite get enough faith for that. The reason is you're in expectancy. You're not in anticipation. Anticipation demands there is no end and there's nothing that's not possible. Let me get one. Derek calls them cough drops, but I think it's just a piece of candy. I'll go with that. Now, so anticipation fits with eternity because anticipation has no end on either anything's possible. Expectancy has a beginning and an end. Anticipation doesn't. Now, it is your call and it is my call to anticipate total healing and change for any situation. We must be faithful. But we must come out of expectancy into anticipation. Anticipation reaches for eternal purpose. Now, expectancy is short-sighted. Anticipation is long-sighted. Anticipation is hunting and reaching. Anticipation causes you to be proactive. Expectancy causes you to do nothing. Nothing wrong with expectancy, just that it needs to mature into anticipation. Now, says this in Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. Anticipation has an eternal purpose. Watch it. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in who? Christ Jesus. Now, that's saying a lot, and I understand that's a mouthful. But the first thing I wanted you to see about reaching, we got to reach for this eternal purpose. In reaching for the eternal purpose and anticipation, God has called us as agents to reconcile all things unto him. So there we find our purpose. To see men, to see what is the fellowship of what? Mystery. All right. Do you know why he used the word mystery? It's because at that point we don't know what it is. But ever what that mystery is, the only bit of information that God gives us at this point about this mystery is we're to be in fellowship over it. That's all we know. So God is instructing us in our behavior before he tells us what it is. Why? Do you think it's just so we're good little Christians? Or could it be that what he's wanting to download is so big one person can't handle it? It's going to take a fellowship to handle what God's going to dump out here in this mystery. Just imagine somebody jumping out of a 60-story building, a little kid, the building's on fire. You're down at the bottom. They've got this little thing they can jump into, like a little trampoline. There's three people there. They need five or six more people to help hold it. You run over there and you help hold. Just a few. You all got to be holding the same, at the same height, at the same time. Then you say, jump. The little kid jumps. And because there's fellowship around that ring, then the impossible turns into the possible. Because of fellowship. Why? That job's too big for one person. You can't hold the whole trampoline or whatever. It takes a fellowship. So what we start seeing here, ever what this eternal purpose that God's got in Jesus, before he can download it, it's going to take a fellowship that's in unity to be able to catch it. That's what he's saying. You see what I'm saying? Now listen, if we all go over and hold that trampoline for that little kid to jump into, we're all in fellowship, but if you got a backpack and a camera and a bag of groceries, you got to lay all that stuff down and grab it to be in fellowship, to catch it. So Paul wrote Philippians and Galatians, and the only thing he's saying is just lay down all your stuff. Let's come into fellowship together, because God's wanting to throw something out of heaven. It's going to take all of us to hold it because of our fellowship. Lay all your stuff down. Don't say, well, I think we need to hold it with one foot and one hand. No. No, we don't need your opinion on how to hold a trampoline. The kid's going to burn up. Just grab hold. It's not this hard to be in unity with each other. Don't go around apologizing to everybody and try and get everybody to agree with you. It's not going to work. I done been there. Just lay all your mess down. Just let it go. Throw it down. Say, somebody hurt my feelings. Throw it down. Say, they did it on purpose. Throw it down on purpose. Just throw it down. We don't have enough lifetime to fix all your problems. We don't have enough seminars. Enough counselors. You got to throw her down. It'll be the shortest counseling time you ever had. And it'll be with Jesus. Just throw her down. Let her go and grab hold. Come together in unity and fellowship. Watch what God throws down. It'll get on all of us, but it'll take us all to hold it. It's called his eternal purpose, which he purposed. Now, as we're reaching for this eternal purpose, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Well, here I saw the fellowship of the mystery. Here's the mystery. Ever what that fellowship of the mystery is, it's God's will. See it here, mystery of his will? According to what? Whatever what this mystery is, it's good. It's according to God's good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Being interpreted, God's going to do what God was going to do all the time in the Garden of Eden. God has a purpose. He has it in himself. His love's greater than his own message. He's fixed it. He's fulfilled it. And it's his will. And it's his purpose. In himself. Now, take that one to the bank and see if that's going to happen or not. That check will cash. So as we line up together in a fellowship, we all throw down our junk, we all grab hold of the trampoline, say, God, throw her down. We are going to be catching what is God's good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. The only thing he's looking for is a group of people that will catch his will. And it's good. It's not bad. It's good. I can't get everybody fixed to hold the trampoline. Throw her down. So I got a bad attitude. Well, get rid of it. We're not going to fix it. Throw it away. When a pen runs out of ink, throw it away. The Don't write no more down. We done heard it all. Does anybody know what I mean? Now listen, you got to understand something. As we lay everything down, all of our, when I say throw it away, you lay your needs down. All, until we lay our needs down, the needs of God's, the needs of the people is what draws what God's going to throw down. Our needs have a drawing effect into heaven. Because God's will is to fulfill and fix our needs. According to His riches and glory, if you want a little scripture. Can you hear me? Until we lay them down in unity, we lay it all down. When we lay it all down, the more we lay down, the bigger the visitation. Doesn't come right from heaven. The more you lay down, the bigger the visitation. Why? It's His good pleasure. And God purposed that in Himself. He says, lay it all down at the cross. I can't fix it. Pastor can't fix it. Ed can't fix it. Trevor can't fix it. But we can tell you where to put it. Put it at the cross and grab hold of this fellowship. Listen, it's the shortest course to getting caught up on life than there's ever been. Just lay her down. Nobody's keeping a roll book or record book around here. We're afraid you'll read ours. Just throw her down. I'll not read yours if you won't read mine. Deal? We'll all lay it down. And we all grab hold. The will of God, understand, has this mystery. I guess God wants me to stop because I'm hung. Teresa, I'm hung right there. She's up there praising God and carrying on. Now, understand it's His good pleasure, and I'm still stuck, and God has this purpose. Changing atmosphere. Do you have an idea? Are you persuaded by God's Spirit that we can change the atmosphere in here to one like's in heaven right at this moment? You see, the angels in heaven, and I'll get into that next week, they're all standing around in heaven anticipating what God's going to do next. The atmosphere in heaven to come to this earth is determined not by our expectancy, but by our anticipation. Our anticipation moves. Because of anticipation, we raise our hands. Because of anticipation, we sing, we worship. Because of anticipation, we move. Expectancy's fine, but let it mature. Let it turn into spirit. And let's anticipate Him doing mighty things, not tomorrow, but today. Lord Jesus, we love You. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today. I ask and pray, oh God, that through the power of the Spirit, that our expectancy would mature into anticipation. And because of anticipation, we would run into who we're going to be, leaving behind who we were. I guess it was all right while it lasted, but where we were and who we were sure didn't going to go where we're going to be. So, Lord, help us to throw it away, throw it down, and run into You. In Jesus' name.